You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Don't just watch the draft in 2 weeks. Play the draft with the Cleveland Browns right now for your chance to win incredible prizes. Play the Draft is a new free fantasy NFL draft game, and the first contest is live now. Sign up at ClevelandBrowns.com today. We go to the hotline to bring in Mary Kay Cabot from the Cleveland Plain Dealer and Cleveland.com. And Mary Kay, obviously the schedule coming out yesterday, lots of analysis, lots of dissecting that schedule. What are your first impressions about the schedule and what stands out the most to you?
Well, one of the things that really stands out is finishing two out of the last three games with AFC North rivals. And when I look at this Browns team this year, I think they can be right there. I think those games are going to be very, very meaningful. I mean, even when I look back to last year, I think they were right in the thick of it until they ran into a bunch of quarterback injuries. So I think with all the pieces and parts they're adding this year, I think those final three games will be very meaningful this year.
Mary Kay, it's Michael. Great to have you with us as always. The first three, and I know Browns fans, I just mentioned I was talking to a lot last night. They were like, well, why couldn't it be Oakland, Buffalo, and Atlanta for the first three? Mary Kay, do you look at it that given, okay, it may be daunting, but if the Browns, with Mike Pettine's philosophy intact, can get off to a solid start, that this might be the best thing going for this football team to face two division rivals and a very strong New Orleans football team in the first 3 weeks?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it can go either way. You know, they got off to, obviously, a fairly strong start last year, and things were looking good, and then they fell apart. What I don't like is having the bye week
so early.
Right. You know, I mean, I think that can hurt them, especially yeah. With injuries and things like that. They've got a number of guys coming off, injuries and torn ACLs and things like that. To have the bye week so early, I don't know if that's going to be great, but. I think it's always important to get off to a strong start, but I will say that I've seen over the years that it's far more important to hit your stride in about the last six games of the season. It just doesn't matter all that much what happens in the first six games. We've seen teams start off 6-0 and not make the playoffs. So I think they really, really need, to be coming all together, scheme-wise and everything else, with about five, six games to go.
Yeah, you're exactly right, and I think that middle stretch for the Browns will be key to build momentum when they have the games that, at least as of today on paper, seem to be the best stretch for them. But let me ask you this. For a team that has been through constant change and everybody wanting to say, let's get it done, let's change it, let's see the change, we've heard it before, could there be a more emphatic, definitive statement of change and it's not the same old Browns than to go into Pittsburgh and to beat the Steelers in week one?
You know, yes, I think that would be great. I think that, I think it would set the tone. I think it would serve notice to the AFC North that we're here and we're for real and we're going to make some noise this year. Again, having the Steelers and the Ravens early on, those can be both statement games, right before that bye week. So I do think that it's meaningful. However, again, I'm not as impressed with what happens weeks 1-5 as I am with what happens 11-16.
Always great to have Mary Kay Cabot with us. You check her out in the Cleveland Plain Dealer and, of course, at Cleveland.com here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Mary Kay, quarterbacks on everybody's mind. You've been writing about it quite a bit of late. The Browns probably by the end of business tomorrow might have upwards of a dozen quarterbacks draftable in the second week of May in this building throughout the course of this week. Do you see any momentum shift or any type of idea that now maybe, yes, the Browns will draft a quarterback in that first round, either 4-26, or should they move around a little bit?
You know what? I have been saying this from day one, and I just haven't wavered from it. I do think that they need to take a quarterback in the first round. My preference would be, if I were running the team, I would take a quarterback with the first pick. I think it's time. I think the class, the quarterback class, is deep and varied enough that they can find a guy that you can win with. If you are overspending a little bit pick-wise on your quarterback, that never bothers me. If you think it's going to change the fortunes of the franchise, I would much rather have a quarterback that can take you to the next level, even if you spent, 10 higher picks than you should have on the guy, than have someone that's going to come in and maybe break up some passes for you or whatever the case may be. The only other position that I think you could make a super strong case for right now at number four would be something like a really super dominant pass rusher, maybe an offensive tackle, but even that doesn't do it for me as much as somebody that can dominate the game on the other side of the ball. And that would be if you really thought that a Khalil Mack could just absolutely crush the other team on a week-by-week basis. But for my money, I'm taking a quarterback at number four. They haven't done it in the top five since Tim Couch. It's time. I mean, it is time to get that man in here and surround him with talent and get this team to the next level.
Mary Kay, that being said, we know Johnny Manziel reported to be in the building today. Is Johnny Manziel the quarterback you would take at number four? Who do you like the best today, and then which way do you think the team is leaning if they do go quarterback at four?
That is so incredibly hard to say. Some of the people that I've talked to, the good, respected quarterback people out there, like the Bruce Arians of the world, they express real concerns about the durability factor of a Johnny Manziel. But I am also very, very intrigued. I'm kind of sold on the whole playmaking, the excitement of all of that. So, I don't know. I think that I would be tempted to pick Johnny Manziel there. I'd have to have some people, really, really, talk me out of that and say, look, who does it when they're 5'11"? And how can you? Because when you watch the film and when you see what he does, if he can bring that to this level and keep his head together, boy, I mean, it could be dynamite. If you want to go a more sensible route, I think it would probably be between Blake Bortles and Derek Carr. I've said Derek Carr at number four in a mock draft. That was April 4th that I picked him there. Again, I think he's a guy that you wouldn't necessarily want to pick at number four if you could get him at 18. But if you really do like him and you think he's your guy, then, don't mess around. Just go ahead and take him at number four because he could be gone by 18 or wherever else you might end up with packaging picks.
Mary Kay Cabot joining us from the Cleveland Plain Dealer and Cleveland.com. Mary Kay, with Manziel in mind, if you were Ray Farmer and you were very much intrigued, because so much of his skills revolve around ad-libbing, improvising, trying to make big plays, would you need to be absolutely convinced by him that he was willing to subjugate some of his game and maybe his ego to the NFL system that requires things be done in a more, shall we say, precise manner than he likes to do with all of his ad-libbing?
You know what? I don't think I would do that. I think that you would run the risk of taking away what makes him so special. If I were going to draft him, I would figure out what exactly he does best, how to do it, incorporate it into your offense, and let him play to his strengths and let him shine. If you try to turn him into more of a conventional pocket passer, I mean, it's like you might as well just, cut off one of his limbs or something. I just don't really think that that's going to fly with him. I think you've got to let Johnny be Johnny. I mean, that's where the magic comes in. You don't want to take away the magic. And if you start to mess with him too much in that way, he could lose his confidence. I mean, if he's all of a sudden thinking too much and not improvising and being that playmaker, that could change him from a psychological standpoint.
I just think that in the NFL, for number one, his durability, and number two, for the offense to function the way it's supposed to, he's got to be able to play within some structure. Now, he says he craves structure, and that's what he hopes to get when he comes to the National Football League. You can't take away all of his playmaking, but even Brett Favre was at his best when he was improvising at times, but also playing within the system that was laid out for him. I think in the NFL, especially at his size, Johnny Manziel's going to have to be able to win from the pocket more than he's going to win by being crazy and running around and making those wild plays.
I totally hear what you're saying, and that's the thing that you would have to weigh. You would have to ask yourself, if you are going to take away the Johnny Magic, what are you going to have left? You know, and if what you're going to have left is a Derek Carr or someone like that, then just go ahead and pick the Derek Carr. What is interesting about Derek Carr and Johnny Manziel, I'm going to be trying to put up a post a little bit later today on this, and that is that their measurables at the combine were very, very close. I mean, their 40 time, their broad jump, their vertical, it was all very, very similar. And while we think of Johnny more as more the athletic quarterback, you know, just from a pure numbers standpoint, Carr stacks right up.
Mary Kay Cabot joining us. Great to have her insights, as always, on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Nathan Zagura is here. I'm Michael Regei. As we take you to 3 o'clock today, Mary Kay, all right, let's say it's not one of the quarterbacks, and you mentioned a little bit earlier both Jadeveon Clowney and also Khalil Mack, the linebacker from Buffalo. How do you think that would play? You seem to like it. If that were to be the case for the Browns and they don't move around and stay there and decide we're going to stay true to the board, we have this guy, he's left as our fourth greatest value, that wouldn't be, maybe not with the fans, but probably would be the smart way to proceed for the Browns, would it not, by staying true to the board if that fourth guy that they had attached value to is there for them?
Yeah, I don't think it would be a bad way to go, even though you have a Paul Kruger, a Jabal Sheard, a Barkevious Mingo. If you are staring at a player that you feel in your heart of hearts can be that guy, that dominant, ferocious pass rusher that can absolutely take over a game and destroy the other team's timing, their quarterback, you know, be disruptive the whole entire game, then I would do that in a heartbeat. But there are two other positions I think they would strongly consider, and that would be Greg Robinson mm-hmm. at tackle and Sammy Watkins.
Sure.
So, you know, they're going to have some good choices. It's just a matter for them of, do they want to take the quarterback who might not be the best available player at that time, or are you going to really stay true to your board and pick the top-rated player at that time?
Is that who you have as your top four? By the if I said no particular order, Mary Kay, but if we said Mack, Clowney, Watkins, and Greg Robinson, would you agree with that most GMs have that as attached their top value to those as top four?
Yes, I would think so, but there might be a quarterback in there too. It just depends on how you want to set up your board and how you value a guy like a Johnny Manziel. But yes, I would say that just from a number standpoint, if you were just taking into consideration a grade, those would probably be the top four.
Mary Kay, I noticed when you talked about the quarterbacks, and we know that many, maybe as many as reportedly as a dozen have been to the Browns for their 30 visits in Berea. Is this a team that's taking two quarterbacks for you in this draft? And what do you make of the notion, Mel Kiper mentioned it about, and I know you mentioned it at one point, you didn't say that you'd heard anything about it, but you said it was a possibility, Kirk Cousins potentially being a draft day trade target.
Yeah, you know what? Again, yes, I have mentioned that, and that is because the obvious connection with Kyle Shanahan, and we know that Kyle Shanahan really likes Kirk Cousins, and now they have Colt McCoy over there too, so I think they're going to be willing to deal Kirk perhaps, and I think draft weekend would be the perfect time to do it, and depending on what the Browns do, there could be some opportunities there. Maybe they end up shaking things up considerably and ending up with a Kirk Cousins and a rookie, and I don't know exactly what else they would do, but yes, I think that we should all be aware that that's a possibility.
Mary Kay, we all know Brian Hoyer, certainly have known him for quite some time since his youth as a quarterback for Chuck Kyle at St. Ignatius. Do you feel, Mary Kay, that this is only going to serve to set Brian Hoyer's jaw a little bit tighter, develop that edge just a little bit firmer for him in his idea, and his mindset that I'm the number one quarterback on this football team. I don't care who you bring in. I'm going to show everybody that when I get on the football field when camp opens in July.
Yes, he's absolutely determined to do that. Even if they bring in a number four, and we all know what happens when you draft a quarterback these days at number four
Oh, yeah.
Or somewhere in the top ten. I mean, that's just how it goes. But I do think that it will set up an incredible showdown, and I think that will be good for everyone. I do firmly believe that there should be competition at every position, and I don't care about splitting reps or, you know, somebody's fragile psyche or somebody's ego. Put them out into the middle of the Coliseum and let them go at it. I mean, you know, I mean, they need to find a quarterback, and they need to bring out the best in one. And if the rookie at number four is going to start, he should be pressed by Brian Hoyer. And if Brian is going to start, he really, really should have an opportunity to have competition and have someone breathing down his neck. Let them fight it out and battle it out, and don't care about, oh, well, he's not getting enough time, or he's not getting this or that. They need the best man to win, and that's the best way to do it.
And let me say this about, we talked about the week four bye when we referred to the schedule early. If someone does start at quarterback and they draft a quarterback early, and let's say Brian Hoyer starts, if he doesn't get off to a good start, I think that week four bye will be a natural transition point if that unfortunately would have to be the case.
Sure, and here's the other way to look at it. You know, you don't have, just because everybody starts the top five quarterbacks these days, or the top, whatever, 15 picks these days, it doesn't mean that you have to do that. I mean, I remember Donovan McNabb sat the first six games and then was thrown into there. And I think there might be something to be said for that. It's a very short period of time from the draft to opening day. Sometimes a player might just need another month or two to get his head on straight, to absorb
sure.
the scheme, to practice, to watch the other guy from the sideline. So if you started Brian Hoyer the first three games and it was going wonderfully, then, you know, keep it rolling. But, you know, you could also see how it goes. And, you know, maybe you throw a rookie in there, you know, week four or five, six, seven or whatever.
Mary Kay, appreciate the time as always, and look forward to talking to you as we get closer, just 2 weeks away now from this draft that it seems like we've been talking about for 12 years.
That's right, and you know, I can't believe that it's almost finally here. It's very, very exciting, and the next 2 weeks should be great.
Absolutely.
Thanks, Mary Kay. Good chatting.
That's right. Thank you, Mary Kay Cabot from the Cleveland Plain Dealer and Cleveland.com. When we return, we're going to wrap up our first hour. A couple of interesting tweets just popped up on my timeline. We'll talk about those as it relates to what certain people around the league think the Browns will do at number four. We'll also get your phone calls, 216-578-0850, about the draft, about the schedule, etc. When we return, Nathan Segura, Michael Regei, ESPN 850 WKNR.